would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Well, now you know that my name is John Forward, and this is my show. That's a pretty good rap. It rhymes. So, I'm here. This is St. John Forward Radio. It's recorded live every Monday night from 9 to 10 p.m. on local FM 107.3 or on localfm.ca. You can stream it. It's on again on Friday nights at 10 o'clock, and I put it up on johnforward.com the following Wednesday. This is the show. It's 1 hour. Normally, I complain about stuff at the beginning of the show, but I just started a new yoga class tonight, so it's not going to be good for the show. I'm going to be all mellow and calm down before I get here. It's probably a good thing I went to yoga, because nothing happened this week for me to complain about. But I made the mistake of looking at the comments from the live video stream of last week's show with Shane Ogden on Shane Ogden's wall on Facebook, and for the entire first 10 minutes of the stream, people are posting, what's this guy doing? This is a monologue. Boring. Shane, why aren't you saying anything? Well, it's called St. John Forward Radio. It's not called St. Shane Ogden Radio. That doesn't even make any sense. These people, they don't know how my show works. And I demand that they do their research before just idly clicking on something on Facebook. But I'm all downward dogged out, and I can't be upset about it. It's probably just because I got nothing real to complain about, so I gotta be upset about nothing. Had a pretty quiet week, comedy-wise. I went to see Paul Heywood show at Chuckles on Friday with Ken Bolton, who we'll be talking to later, and Brittany Campbell and Matt Richardson and Glenn K. Emma was hosting. It was a bit of a small turnout, but it's ECMA weekend, and Shane had his BMO show the weekend before, so there might have been some overlap there. But I'm not sure about the Saturday show. Maybe I'll ask her. I'll talk about that with my guest, who's giving me a thumbs up in a little bit. But that's all I did. I did some comedy writing, I suppose. I fixed the faucet in my kitchen sink with a little bit of an assist from a friend of the show, Mark Splude. Thank you, Mark. I kind of wanted to go to some sort of an ECMA type thing this weekend, but it was more that I wanted to want to. Like, there wasn't really anything that was on the list that, like, most of the bands that I've heard of, I don't like them, and so I just assume that it's all bland maritime garbage. I'm saying it here on St. John Forward Radio. I haven't researched it. There was a bunch of local stuff going on too that I probably would have been more into, like the local block party thing, not to be convinced with the evil comedy cabal that has been discussed previously on this show. The closest I came to leaving the house, aside from the Chuckles show, was they had a thing called Too Many Bands at Taco Pica yesterday on Sunday, and I kind of wanted to go just so that I could do something. It wasn't really pulling me out, and I thought, well, I wanted to do some writing, and I usually do some good writing if I go to watch a band play or something by myself and just hang out at a table and let the juices flow. But I thought it would be at Taco Pica's kind of crowded and packed, and there'd probably be a lot of people there, so I didn't want to be standing in the middle of a mosh pit with my phone out trying to write some jokes. So I stayed home and put on a Meshuggah DVD instead. But I'm not sure whether the ECMA stigma that I have is really fair, but like the way that I see it is, I don't care about the Grammys in the States, and then like a step down from that is the Canadian Junos that I care even less about. And then if we narrow down even further within the Canadian music scene, we've got the ECMAs, which is just like, take out all of the American stuff that we all like, and then take out the most popular Canadian stuff, and then bring on the fiddles. And that's what I assume the ECMA is. They mix it up a little bit. They've got Classified, who, no offense anybody, but I'm going to go on the record and say that I hate Classified. I don't know why. He just, something about his face makes me want to slap him. I hate that pandering. Blah, blah, well, in the Maritimes, we all get drunk in the kitchen. Ugh. It's gross, and I don't like it. Apologies to Classified or any Classified fans out there, but I hate it. And that is the best East Coast artist that I have heard, and I still hate it. So, I don't know. I don't know if I'm wrong to just assume that it all sucks without doing my research. And I wonder if people think the same thing about local comedy. Because really, if you think of it, like, there's the good stuff in America, and then we've got, like, the yuck yucks, whatever, across Canada, that's the like the slightly watered down, maybe more than slightly watered down version of the American scene. And then we narrow it down to St. John, New Brunswick, or New Brunswick in general. If I didn't know better, I would probably think that it was the comedy equivalent of fiddles, but I don't know. It's, people probably have that same association, and like, bad comedy is way worse than bad music. I'm pretty much okay at music show if I know generally what type of music is being played. I can set my expectations, and if I go to a rock and roll show, a bad rock band is just, it just fades into the background, but bad comedy kind of is a little bit more aggressive, and you can't just pretend like it's not happening. That kind of ends up making it even worse. But any music show, unless like there's a couple of different types of music that I probably wouldn't be in for, but is one bad comedy show enough to ruin it for somebody? Like if somebody doesn't know what to expect at a comedy show and they just pick one at random, and they don't like it, and they're like, oh, that's what comedy is. Or it might even be just one particular comedian that they don't like, and that might leave a bad taste in their mouth, and that might scare them off, which is why I want people to sample all of the different types of shows going on. Not just mine, not just the corporate comedy shows, and not just whatever's in between. You should get a taste of everything so that you know what to expect. But people don't really know what they're in for when they go to a comedy show. It's kind of a broad term. Like, you wouldn't just see a sign up like music show and on the same lineup have like Nickelback, Beyonce, Insane Clown Posse, Bob Dylan, Slayer, Spoon, Alan Jackson, and Skrillex. It wouldn't make any sense, but that's kind of what you get when you go to a comedy show. So I don't know if we should break off into our different types, but like, they don't do that anywhere else. But I don't know, even around here, people see certain types of comedians on certain types of shows, and my thought is that if I'm a casual attendee of a comedy show, and I keep seeing the same couple of people doing the same material over and over again, as good as it may be, I'm going to think, well, damn, if that's the best we got, then there must be a really shallow pool, and it kind of puts a damp on the rest of the same thing. And it's bad for everybody, and those people, if they come out once every 3 months to see a comedy show and they see the same joke all three times, then, or yeah, those three parts, I'm forgetting how to speak English, but they might decide to not come back out for a while, or spread it out, or not go to anything else. And I don't know. There's lots of no-jokes barred people that don't get to see all of the comedians either. Some of them don't come down for possibly personal reasons, I don't know. But a lot of them is probably just because it's not worth driving several hours to get paid $10. We're not the most rich bunch of people, and sometimes that that gas money is not worth it. But if you're at the shows, you can give bigger donations, and that would attract more of these people, and I can pay them some money. But I don't know, the next R Bar's got a bunch of new people. There's going to be nobody that was there at the last month. There's three people that are doing it for their first time ever, and the other four or five people, it's been at least 3 months, some of them over a year since they've been there, so it's going to be a good mix. And I too go to the same pool of people often, just because it's easier to book people that I'm talking to on a daily or weekly basis. But I don't know, the people that I repeat on shows aren't doing the same stuff every time, and I don't know, I think variety is probably more important than splitting up the different types of comedy, and I like having a big crazy mix of different stuff on the show, because that's something maybe more for everybody, and if you don't like one person, there's another one coming up in 10 minutes or however long the sets are. But I don't know. I don't care if the audience likes every show or every joke. They shouldn't, because that's not how it's going to be. I just don't want anybody to be bored, so I try to mix it up. And speaking of bored, my guest, Ken Bolton, nodding off, listening to me chatter on for 12 minutes straight. Hello, Ken.
Hello, and welcome to the 107.3 FM Telethon. We are broadcasting live from the 37th floor of the Student Union Building at the beautiful campus of the UNBSJ. Call us now. Our operators are standing by because we need to replace the chairs in this studio. My butt is 4 inches off the floor. The microphone is on the ceiling. How the hell am I supposed to talk down to John Forward?
Well, I appreciate the energy you're bringing, but no one's buying it, Ken. I don't think if you stacked up every building on this campus that there would be a 37th floor.
I've counted.
Well,
that's why I'm getting, you know, that dizzy thing. How are you, John? Nice to be with you.
I'm doing well, and I hope you're doing well, too. And
am I talking too quickly?
No. We're
okay.
Good.
I want to match the tone.
Talk how you talk. You're trying to match your own tone. We're having a conversation where there happens to be microphones in the room. And we'll be back with more Ken Bolton. We're going to play a song.
A minute and a half? That's my whole set?
That's more than most people get at the beginning of the first segment.
You gave Shane Ogden 4 minutes.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. You're just not interesting enough. I got to cut you off with the music, but we'll be back with more Ken Bolton, and we're going to play some Skinny Puppy for now, because just for variety, like I said, I don't play a lot of industrial music on this show, and it's some good Canadian content to get out of the way on St. John Forward Radio.
Game stock.
Back, St. John Forward Radio. That was Skinny Puppy and Ken Bolton's first taste of industrial music. What did you think, Ken?
Oh, that was so exciting. My God, I think my pacemaker stopped in the middle of that.
Well, that's a good thing. We might need, if we probably could, we could probably make some good industrial music if we plugged your pacemaker into like some kind of amplifier and play notes on it. I don't know where I'm going with this. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing well. By the way, please phone in now. Our lines are still open. If you pledge $25 or more to replace the seats in this studio, you will get the set of six handcrafted steak knives from Giant Tiger. Giant Tiger, the only psych ward in Canada that sells groceries. Hi, John.
You heard him. 506-648-5925. Get those calls in. All right. I'm here with Ken Bolton.
You wish you weren't, don't you?
No. I am delighted to have you here, Ken. Oldest comedian in St. John, probably.
Oldest comedian in the world since George Burns died.
You started performing in St. John, I think, roughly around the same time that I started doing the R-Bar. I think you're... You were on the second show. That your St. John comedy debut?
It was indeed. And I'm happy to say that I've been invited back to the R Bar next month for my swan song as a St. John comedian.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, it was the next month, but it's technically May, so you are correct. You are going to be
on
the
show. Of course I'm correct, John. Respect your elders, for Pete's sake.
You can earn my respect, Ken. So what were you up to comedy wise before St. John? You've
a little over 20 years in the Yukon. First of all, starting off in a character performance as Rodney Dougherty, a 64-year-old retired farmer from Prince Edward Island, who had, well, he's been described as Charlie Farquharson with attitude. You won't remember Charlie Farquharson, of course.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, well, of course you haven't, because, you know, you're just a puppy for heaven. You're a skinny puppy.
Good callback.
Yeah. Anyway, I did that for a while, and then I decided to get naked and actually start doing stand-up in my very own person. Scared the hell out of me at first.
Well, yeah, that's what I did. I used to do, when I was in university, I had a hardcore gangster rapper persona that I used to, go up at the open mics at O'Leary's, and that was my thing, and I tried to do comedy again, and I had lots of starts and misses, and I thought about maybe doing a character thing, but I decided to be John Forward up there. And
it takes a lot more courage. The thing about character comedy is that you can hide behind it. It's a mask. It's like being a clown. When you put on that red nose, you aren't taking as much risk or being an actor because the words are there for you. You just have to interpret the role. But stand-up comedy, you're up there with, pardon the expression, with your weenie out on display, and they either love you or they hate you. In my case, they mostly hate me.
Yeah, I found it very easy to kind of fall into the character and just, like, I'd have a song written or something, but as far as what I would say in between songs or how I would react to things in the audience, I would just kind of go on autopilot and just be that guy. And don't have to worry about the consequences, I guess. So if they don't like what he's saying, then who cares? They weren't supposed to. They just don't get it.
Yep.
But
so yeah. a little over 2 years of doing comedy here in St. John, and I have
It's going to be three in July.
I know, but at my age, who can count?
It'll be 3 years for you in August.
June, I think it was.
The first show was in July.
You and I met on the set of Hoveland.
Yep.
And I was doing a little character role on an episode that you had written.
I had helped with the whole thing, but that particular scene, they were struggling with, so I went off on my own and when I rewrote that scene for them, I actually had in mind that I was going to be playing your role.
It's a good thing for the audience that you didn't.
Yeah. We need a crusty old man to play that part. So then I had to rewrite it again to give myself some more lines as the bartender. But
of course, because all the lines should go to John Forward.
As many as possible.
Yeah.
It's a known formula.
But that was an interesting experience for me. And that night, I mentioned to you that I was teaching a stand-up comedy course at the University of what province are we in?
New Brunswick.
UNBSJ. Okay, that's the one. Because when I got here 4 years ago, I could not find a comedy scene anywhere. I asked around, and people said, well, Scott Thomas does improv. I said, not improv, comedy. And nobody knew it. They knew that Shane Ogden brought in acts occasionally. Yeah. And that some guy named Lloyd Raven used to come down from Sussex and do shows. But apart from that, there was no comedy scene. So you said, I'm going to be starting a comedy show at the R Bar next month.
Yeah.
And are you out of your mind? And by God, you did. And by God, you, among others, have helped make St. John one of the richest, most redolent comedy scenes in Canada. It's a fabulous place for comedians right now, and they're coming along by the bucket load.
Yeah, no, it's great.
I want to slap them all.
You're helping with that too, feeding people into it with your course. We've had two main graduates, Chris Trotter and Travis Boyce, that have continued on. Corey Morrow, not so much.
What a rat fink!
I saw him make his comeback a little while ago at Sunday Afternoons, and it wasn't bad. You could tell it will for a third set. I assume, or what? No, I don't know. How many shows?
I think that was only the second set now.
Yeah, and a year in between the two of them.
Oh, but a year, 2 years. I'm so peed off at that guy because, frankly, he was the most promising in that class. Chris Trotter will say that, and so will Travis Boyce. And the dink came out and did one show at the pub down under and then disappeared.
Did you ever find out why he disappeared?
Yeah, I think it had something to do with love.
Oh yeah,
and he got a radio gig. So you know, when you're on private radio, you don't want to mess with the brand and maybe cause any ripples.
Yeah, performing comedy is not very good for the interpersonal relationships or the employment prospects. So.
No, how are you and May getting along these days? By the way,
not too bad.
Sorry, that was a left curve.
No, it's fine. I'm actually planning on having her back on the show at some point to talk about her trials and tribulations as a beleaguered comedy wife. So it's not a story that often gets told.
She's wonderful. She is, I mean, apart from the fact that her name is May Wonderful, she is wonderful, and she's damn funny.
Yeah, she is not interested in performing, though.
Ah, well, our loss.
Which surprises me, because she very much likes attention. And I thought the first time that she went on stage and got a laugh, then she'd be hooked like the rest of us. But not so much. I think she's probably done it 5 or 6 times and has done well every time, but just doesn't care.
Yeah, John, you fed me the lead-in talking about my comedy course. Mm-hmm. Just last week, 8 people finished the course. 8 very, very funny people who are going to be making their comic debuts very soon. 4 guys, 4 women. Isn't that amazing?
That's going to quadruple the female comedians in St. John.
I know. I am so...
Who else do we... Well, May doesn't count because she doesn't perform very
well, Brittany
often.
Campbell, Brittany, but she's not
in St. John. Yeah. There's some more in Fredericton, too.
Yeah,
but
Sabrina
within
St.
John, I think it's just Chris.
Yep. And by golly, we're gonna knock that one right on its head. It's wonderful. Because these 4 women, every one of them is hilarious.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's probably going to go. We're in the early stages, but that show's probably going to happen on June 10th at the R Bar. That'll be on the in-between weekend between No Jokes Barred Deluxe and the regular No Jokes Barred show. But I've graciously allowed them to use the same bar that I use.
Hey, we're going to class up that joint, buddy.
I don't know about that. I don't
want
it to be
me.
If you want class, you go to No Jokes Barred Deluxe.
Well, we can talk about that in a moment because I think I have a little piece of that action coming up this week.
You
but
do.
That show that you're referring to, it's not all... I mean, it's only been in the organizational stage for about 22 minutes.
Yeah.
But I'm tentatively calling it the 8 Virgins Comedy Special.
All right, then. So people can check that out. There'll be an event on Facebook. I'll talk about it more on this show. But yeah, let's. Why don't we take a break?
Why don't you
set up your song request, or do you want to talk about it before or after we play?
Oh, I'll talk about it before and after because I'm always so proud to introduce people to the satirical songs of the late Tom Lehrer. Tom Lehrer was a mathematics professor at Harvard who did the most, and a piano player and a songwriter who did the most brilliant satirical stuff. And the reason I chose this particular one is because, well, I'm a news junkie, huh? And when I see President Orange about to declare war on North Korea and drop the big nuke, I'm thinking, it's time, I think, for the people of St. John and, of course, the vast surrounding community that listens to the John Forward Show heard a song that was written in, I think it was 1959 or 1960 by Tom Lehrer that still screams with relevance to today's society. Take it away. It is called We Will All Go Together When We Go.
All right, after this quick word from something that will tell you what radio station you're listening to. Oh, wait. Hold on. I got to turn up the volume, maybe. This is a professional operation, as you can see, Ken.
You're tuned in to CFMH, local 107.3 FM, radio for and by the people, community programmers programming for the community.
Attend a funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM. And the party will be come as you are. We will all burn together when we burn. There'll be no need to stand and wait your turn. When it's time for the fallout and St. Peter calls us all out, we'll just drop our agendas and adjourn. And we will all go together when we go. Every Hottentot and every Eskimo. When the air becomes uranious, we will all go simultaneous. Yes, we all will go together when we all go together. Yes, we all will go together when we go.
Yes, we will.
Awesome. And I have to congratulate you, John, for finding the cheesiest version of that song ever.
There's less cheesy versions?
Oh, there are wonderful versions. In fact, I recommend that everyone go on YouTube at exactly 10:01 tonight, yeah, that you go to YouTube and you look up Tom Lehrer, Lehrer, and look especially for his show in Copenhagen, where he does a brilliant job of this, and some of his other more famous songs, which one of them which I think of every time I go to King's Square. It's called Poisoning Pigeons in the Park. It's wonderful. The guy only wrote 37 songs, but he was on a show called That Was the Week That Was for a long time on television. Mm-hmm. And he's just absolutely bloody brilliant. I think he's funnier than any of the satirists in American TV right now, with the exception of Stephen Colbert and John Oliver. There, I said it, and I'm not ashamed.
Well, there it is. You're not allowed to have opinions in comedy, though. Oh. Especially not around here. you were talking about your experience with the St. John's scene or lack of it. That was kind of a repeat of a conversation I saw you recently had on Facebook. I did not participate in that.
Oh, I got so much hell from some of those.
Well, it started out with Ken posting his best or favorite comedians.
I actually said, but it's subjective. I said that for me, the three best comedians in New Brunswick are Shane Ogden, Mark Splude, and James Mulliger. Not necessarily in that order. And of course, I got holy old hell from.
So when you say best, do you mean your favorite ones to see, or just like big picture, they are good at comedy?
How could I be objective? Comedy is totally subjective. These are the guys who make me laugh the most. Sometimes you do, Dan. But I try to.
Well, I was a little butthurt that I wasn't on the list.
Well,
but
I try to. Suppress
you're allowed to
those
have
feelings.
Your opinion.
So. I try to suppress those feelings because I rely on you. Because occasionally I make enough at one of your shows to buy a beer.
Yeah. Well, I can take it. You don't need to. You can take the gloves off here on St. John Forward Radio. You've seen me from the early days of the R Bar till now. What has been your experience of the progression of John Ford?
Of John Ford? I'm not. Listen.
If I was in your class, what would you tell me?
I would tell you to start again and do it right.
Okay. And what does that look like?
Oh, come on, John. This is not always about you, you know?
Well, this is my show.
I know.
All right.
Okay, this is the John Forward Show, folks. You are listening to 107.3 FM.
All right.
On your radio dial.
All right, so anyway, away from the John Forward, you posted your list, and the reaction to your list was how would you describe the response to that
post? It was not universally favored.
No, I don't understand why anybody cares you think your three best comedians are.
I know, and a couple of people suggested other names, and I agreed. I mean, there are some hilariously, Dan McCarthy should have been on my list right at the get-go.
You give him an honorable mention, I
believe. Yeah, and Brian Joseph Giles, but he's not from New Brunswick. He's from Maine, and he's funnier than hell. Can I say hell on a family radio
show? I assume so.
Okay.
We don't need to get all xenophobic. He's not from here, Ken.
Neither
I know you're an older gentleman.
Yeah, neither is Brittany Campbell, and she's from PEI, and she's hilariously wonderful.
Yeah, why do you think people, especially, I don't know if it's unique to around here, but I know Travis sent out a message asking people for their favorite comedian. He was doing some sort of informal poll a little while ago, and I heard some of the responses he got were like, what is this for? What's your game? And then there was a lot of people that say, like, obviously this person. Why are you even asking this question? If your poll comes up with a different answer than mine, then it's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think that's unique to New Brunswick?
Yes. Because, let's face it, New Brunswick does have an inferiority complex. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm leaving here at the end of June so I can say it. New Brunswick, you have an inferiority complex. And you know what? It's well-deserved. But there are some wonderful, really warm and wonderful people in the comedy community here. That is my tribe. And when I leave here, that's what I'm going to miss the most.
Yeah, so in that argument about, well, you're not allowed to have your favorite list unless it's one that everybody else can agree with, and then it turned into you said just what you told me earlier about your personal experience of the comedy scene that either exists, and you just said you were not aware of any scene that was going on, and everybody kind of pounced on, be like, hey, well, technically, there was all, like, you didn't know about it, so what, like, if a comedy show happens in the middle of the forest, and
yeah,
no one
but you
hears
see,
it.
I was able to come back and say, but I've always loved Marshall Button.
I don't know who that is.
Hey, come on. He runs the Capitol Theater in Moncton.
Okay.
And he's funnier than hell. And he does a character called Lucien, who speaks Shiek and speaks it brilliant. I also mentioned Nikki Payne, who is a famous New Brunswicker. I used to listen to these people on CBC when I lived in the Yukon. And I thought, hey, this New Brunswick must be one funny place.
Yeah.
Then I got here and I think, oh, okay, well, thank God John Forward's somewhere there, because...
Well, that's the thing. Even if there was technically stuff going on, I've been here most of my life, and I'm a pretty hardcore comedy nerd, and I had no idea that any of these shows were going on. Shane's been doing shows since 2009. I didn't have any idea that was happening until probably 2014.
Yeah,
and none of these, like I said, I didn't know that there was any other comedians in New Brunswick when I started doing it. I did one show at the Somerset in the North End that Lloyd Raven was putting on, and he kind of put me on. And then who else was on that show? Mark Splood was on that show. Darren Elmore, Marcel Richard. I think Casey Corbin was the headliner on that, and Lloyd was on it, and Scott Campagna, I think. And that was the first time I'd done a show with other comedians. I was doing music open mics, as I've said, probably on every episode of this show. But I asked Lloyd, like, was there other stuff like this going on, and how do we do that? And he added me to our New Brunswick stand-up group, and then I found out about, like, the Wilser's Room from that, and it just kind of grew up. So there was a comedy scene happening, but just nobody that was outside of the scene seemed to know about it.
But right now I can say, dollar for dollar, you're going to get a great bang when you go out to any comedy club here. I have never been to Yuck Yucks, but I hear they
do. Well, we were in the alley outside Yuck Yucks.
Pardon?
We were outside the alley of Yuck Yucks a little while ago.
Yeah, we're not going to bring that up. John, you keep trying to drag me into controversy, and I'm just
bite your tongue, Ken?
I am a sweet, mild-mannered guy. Hey, I'm old. Today is my 74th birthday, so pay me some respect here, buddy.
Well,
wish
birthday.
Me a happy birthday, and
but
let's
you're not
talk
a sweet
about,
and mild-mannered
oh, I
man.
Am. I mean, for a semi-retired sex god, I am, in fact, a sweet and lovely, supportive person.
I've heard you talk more trash than anybody.
Well, yeah, there is that, but, you know, it's the Alzheimer's kicks in occasionally.
So yeah, did you have any feedback from the Flyergate? I got a little bit. Most people were fine with it, but there's a couple of
Oh, I think maybe I've been blocked on Facebook by a couple of people, but that's okay. Yeah. I have far too many Facebook friends as it is. Yeah, I have more fans in Hong Kong whom I've never met than I have in New Brunswick. So, you know, I think I'll survive. I don't mind being blocked by some of the people, and I won't mention any names because they don't live in town. They actually live in, what's that little town? Oh, Quispamsis.
Right, so they're just St. John carpetbaggers.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you and I went out and we handed out flyers for the R Bar.
It was for O'Leary's, actually.
Yeah, that's right, outside Yuck Yuck's after the show. So we weren't taking a nickel out of anybody's pocket. But we just thought, hey, what better place to tell people about other comedy options than at a place where people have just paid quite handsomely to see comedy. Now, that makes sense to me. That's called good marketing.
Most of the people that we talked to after the show, that seemed to be their perspective, too. Nobody, I don't know about you, but nobody went up to me and was like, what are you doing here? This is unethical somehow.
Yeah,
everybody seemed pretty on board, and they're like, oh, good idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
However,
a couple of whiners.
Yeah. I noticed I was at the liquor store yesterday, as I frequently am, and I noticed that there were Yuck Yuck's little pamphlets all over the. Now, I'm going to go. When we are putting together the Eight Virgins comedy show on June the 10th, I'm going to make up little flyers for that, and I'm going to put them right beside Yuck Yuck's at the liquor store. And who knows, we might end up with an order in council from the Glant government that we can't do that, that it's unethical. Well,
that's true.
I say stuff that.
Should they even be putting their flyers in the liquor store?
Yes, because, they should. That's
because
where people are.
Technically, if somebody had their last $20 and they've got to choose between going to a comedy show and buying a case of beer, they might be stealing business away from that liquor store.
That's true. I hadn't thought of it that way.
It's
but then sneaky. Again, I'm not a capitalist.
Pretty sneaky. I don't know if they paid for that or if they had
permission. I think not. So I think you can do it, John. You've got to get those R Bar and R Bar Deluxe.
I need to design like one flyer that has both, that says like first Friday of the month, No Jokes Bar Deluxe at O'Leary's, blah blah blah, and then it third gets, Saturday of the
it
month.
It does get confusing, John. I have to check my calendar every single month to figure out where the hell I'm supposed to be.
Well, it was better than when it was just whatever weekend I've got off work.
Right.
So, let's play a quick song and take a break, and then we'll.
How quick
we'll
is it? I hope
back.
It's quicker than that industrial thing that you played.
Let's play.
How about something with a little beat?
All right, let's play this. All right, we'll play a song called "Talking Bleep." That's what it's actually called. I'm not censoring myself. If it was a naughty word, I would just say it.
But it wasn't a word that started with S, was it?
No, it's literally called talking, and in parentheses, the word bleep by Homeboy Sandman on St. John Forward Radio.
Hey, hitter.
Yo, I was riding my bike down the bike path going the wrong way. But who's to say what the wrong way is? Unless they're not minding their business. So along comes this chick, like you're going the wrong way, mister. In the break, she thought she was an authority figure. Even though she was a bitch, I still killed her with kindness. Like, thank you, miss. Despite the fact she sounded like this. I love my fans, but sometimes I can't understand when they tell me about their favorite jams. Like, yo, I'm waiting for another jam exactly like this one. Son, I don't make the same jam a record twice. I am way too nice. So please don't ever in your life come to me with suggestions. You'll get dismissed. On top of the fact, you'll sound like this. The other day, I got a call from the people at HuffPo that made me think they're dumb slow. They wanted to know what I thought about some rap beef. between a dude that's mediocre and a dude that's okay. I was like, oh, you don't say. Didn't I just send you an entire article about the link between mass media and private prisons that I thought was really important, but you was like, no, it isn't. Next instant, you got the gumption to hit me up to try to talk about some gumption. You sound like this. This girl told me that she loved me. Yo, she saw me on the regular. But then I met another fly chick, and she was mad when I went to get with her. I had to tell her, yo, I love it when you visit me, but I don't understand why you wanna limit me. She told me, girl, stop acting like a kid. I had to tell her, yo, that ain't what love is. You sound like this. People hit me up for verses and never mention a budget. They are the definition of bugging. I understand where you coming from. I know you wanna come up and ain't rich, but why you gotta sound like this? I met a rapper that sucks, who is way more famous than I am. Can you believe sucker tried to kick some knowledge to the boy's hand? Telling me that I was a brand, and I should think about rocking with a band. And it's a good thing I got on Instagram, and a bunch of other meaningless nonsense. Shut up, dick, you sound like this.
And we're back. That was Talking Bleep.
Oh my, that was so exciting, John.
Oh, there was a little bit of Talking Bleep here in the studio off the mics, I'll tell you.
But no, there was no trash talk happening whatsoever.
So, Ken, you're headlining this Friday.
I am.
No Jokes Barred Deluxe.
I am. I can recycle half an hour's worth of stuff.
Nice. Well, this is, when's the last, you headlined one before.
How yes, I did. I think it was about 4 months or so ago, maybe five, six, 112.
Yeah, and you did well. What do you, what do you think of the format of that show? I just wanted to be able to do longer sets, so I put that together, just because I thought there isn't really much in between from doing like a 10-minute spot and being a headliner. So I thought, I don't know, having the 15 minutes for the features and a half-hour headline, I think it's a good way for people to stretch.
I like it. It's loose. It lets the comedians try out some stuff that maybe isn't polished yet, or do a John Forward monologue that goes on for a week and a half. It's a weird room because you've got, it's like being almost at a Roman banquet, and you've got the senators all up in the front row, and then back behind you've got the civilians and the gladiators who are going to give up their lives tomorrow. And it's weird because you've got this brick wall. You're surrounded in a long, narrow brick cage, and then there's a little window popped out of there, and that's where the poor people are. It's like a Shakespearean play where they're milling around and drinking mead and farting and spitting on the floor and that sort of thing. And it's got a nice vibe, really nice.
Yeah, it's gone through different configure. I used to have the stage at like, so it was more long. So I had the stage against like the wall where the comedians usually sit and facing the other way. So it was narrow and long instead of shallow and wide. But I like it the way that it is now, just because people are right there in front of you in spitting distance. And even if there's a small crowd, then it fills up better.
One of my favorite nights at O'Leary's, and I wasn't performing, but Brian Joseph Giles was there, and he was doing some crowd work, and he does some great crowd work.
Yeah.
And he was going after these three guys who were sitting in a corner, and they were responding really well. And he asked this one guy, "What do you do?" And he said, "I'm a priest." I have never seen a comic drop his drawers so quickly.
Yeah.
And it was just hilarious.
Yeah, no, there's lots of moments like that. And it's, I think that room, and that's part of the reason why I was handing out flyers for that show outside the Yuck Yucks thing, is I think that show of the two has the most room to grow. Like, the R-Bar, I'm pretty happy with. We usually get a pretty decent turnout, so, and there's only so many people that you can fit in there. And like even the last show at the R Bar was as full as it should comfortably be for a comedy show. Much more than that, people tend to kind of get stuck in the corner and start talking.
Yeah, but the wonderful thing about the R Bar, especially for new comics, and I've told all of my students that that's where they should start, is that you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, utter chaos can break out at any moment. There aren't very many hecklers in St. John, thank goodness. But at the R Bar, you don't get hecklers. What you get is noisy drunks who don't even know they're at a comedy show.
Yeah, or they're like, this is my place, and I don't care what's happening here.
I'm here for the karaoke. Shut up.
Be. Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't really happen at O'Leary's. So O'Leary's is, well, we have had some loud drunks in there, but it's like nobody's in there unless they want, like we're not springing a show on people like we do at the R Bar.
Yeah.
Nobody's already in that room and then just the show breaks out around them. And there's like three different main rooms in the whole bar. So
yeah, I got to admit, my favorite club in town is Chuckles.
Yeah,
it's got a great setup. And you were asking earlier because you were at the Friday show, and it was a good show, but there were only about 50 people. Saturday night, it was jammed. It was absolutely packed. I counted two empty seats only, and the comedy rocked.
Yeah,
I think that probably was the best I've ever been. It was loud and fast and funny.
You're really good on the Friday night. I think of the openers, I think you got the best reaction out of the crowd. I think you got the most consistent laughs. Nobody else did badly, but there was longer lulls I found between some of the other people.
I won't talk about other comics.
Not
with the mics on. I thought it was all round a very good show, and I loved seeing Paul Heywood. He's good.
Yeah, and I talked to him afterwards. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah, and that's part of the reason, like, I like doing Chuckles and stuff, is just being able to work with the touring people that have more experience than we do, and just to get that, especially if it's somebody that actually watches the show and you can have the conversation about it, because I've found it's really satisfying when you're opening for like a touring headliner and they're at how good the local openers are.
Yeah. I also want to give a shout out to Mark Burnett and Dee Dee Lombard Lloyd up at Quispam Sis and the Comedy with Balls. They treat their talent very well. They've got a great green room. There's always pizza. And it's a good setup. It's a good room to play. I will probably never be allowed to perform there again, but it has something to do with...
The people that are allowed in the building are treated very well.
Yeah.
I will give them that.
Yeah, and I think they do a darn good show and good cess to them and all the rest of it. And Troy Haynes is doing a great job in Fredericton at the Delta. I don't like playing that room because it's like being at, like a used car dealer's convention or something like that. Well, you know, because you absolutely tanked up there, didn't you? I heard that you were even worse than I was when I performed up there.
Well, there was more factors to blame than just me. I think when you tanked, that was 95%. Ken just found out he had butt cancer.
Right. And I was a little self-conscious doing that set.
Yeah. Fair enough. But I bombed my headline set. But like a month ago, I went, or however long it was, it was sometime in March, I did the Battle of the Comedians, and I won.
I know. Destroyed. Congratulations. Completely undeserved. I'm really happy for you.
I bribed everybody in the audience, so it was fine. But yeah, no, it was a good comeback. I did well. But we're nearing the end of the show, so...
I'm just getting warmed up.
What else you got coming up? So you got June 10th with the students at the R Bar.
Yes, and I will be headlining
this Friday.
O'Leary's on Friday.
May 5th, and No Jokes Bar Deluxe.
And on May the 31st, a brand new show at the Hampton Golf Club, organized by Matt Keenan, who was
the former guest of the show.
Yes, and the winner of the James Mullinger Boot Camp this year. He's putting on a show, which he has graciously invited me to headline, so I get to recycle all that shit, all that stuff that I'll be doing at O'Leary's. And then I can move to Ontario and repeat it all over again for people who've never heard it again. Could life be better? Could life possibly be better, John?
Well, no, you gotta, when you move, you get a whole, you got like at least 3 years of, hey, Ontario, this is how stuff's different in New Brunswick.
Exactly. I can talk about the giant tiger for years.
Yeah. So, and also on that show on Friday, No Jokes Bar Deluxe, I'll be hosting that one. And we've got Mandy Lynn Donovan making her her O'Leary's
who
debut.
Who spends a lot of time sitting in the very chair you are in right now.
She does. I've been on the show.
Yeah.
I think, was I in here? I think the studio has always been in here since. For some reason, I'm picturing myself in the other room when I did her show. I was on I was in the first month, I think, of breaking in with Mandy Lynn. And then I was robbed for Best New Show at the award ceremony. But we'll get you next year, Mandy Lynn. Arif Hussein's also on the show.
Oh, one funny guy. Yeah. And what a mean mouth.
Yeah, he can be. He's a sweetie, though.
Of course he's a sweetie. I mean, I'm told that Don Rickles was actually a human being, too.
Yeah. I had been doing three of the 15-minute feature spots, but except for last month when I accidentally put too many people on, I've tried to cut it down to just the host, the two 15s, and the headline, because I found, depending on who was hosting, I guess, more so when I do it, and I'd do too much material hosting, and the show would just go, like, we have until 11, and there's nothing really coming in after, but I don't know. That long of a show gets exhausting.
And, you know, and it is on a Friday night, and people are, they got to get on with the drinking.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think aiming for, like, an hour and to be done at, like, 10:30, plus we've got the extra time built in if the headliner feels like doing some more time.
But. Plus, of course, this week you have to be cognizant of the fact that it's my bedtime.
Yeah, fair enough.
So can't go too late.
So yeah, we'll come out to that, and then the next R-Bar show is on the third Saturday of the month, which this month makes that May 20th at the R-Bar. So anyway, this has been St. John Forward Radio. Thank you, Ken Bolton, my guest. I'm John Forward, and this will be on again Friday at 10. It's on every week, Monday 9 to 10 on local FM. And
can you teach me how to talk that slowly, John?
You just do it slower.
Okay. It's an FM thing, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, check that out. Or you can hear the back episodes on johnforward.com in the podcast section. Here's the outro. Good night. Thank you.